I'd invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 25. I want to read verses 24 through 34. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. The first came out red, all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. And the boys grew. And Isaac was a cunning hunter, a man of the field. And Jacob was a plain man, dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sought pottage, and Esau came from the field and was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with the same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day." And he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. We're studying Jacob and Esau. Jacob and Esau is a contrast between a godly child of God and a worldly child of God. Jacob was one who lived by faith. Esau was one who lived in the world. The study of the Old Testament is a study of types. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11 tells us, "Now all these things happen unto them," that is, the nation of Israel, "for in samples," or types. "And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world or age are come." We need to receive admonition. We need to be admonished to be faithful to the Lord. And the study of types and the study of Jacob and Esau will truly help us to appreciate the value of pleasing the Lord with our lives. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 tells us, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us." In chapter 11, we have the witnesses of those who please God. In chapter 12 of Hebrews, we have the account of Esau despising his birthright. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 15 and 16, it says, "Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright." So we have two witnesses before us today, Jacob and Esau. Jacob, a man of God who lived by faith. Esau, a child of God who lived by his wits and in the world. Jacob was a stranger and a sojourner. Esau was a man of the field. In Genesis 25 and verse 27, it says, "The boys grew, and Esau was a hunting cunner, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man, dwelling in tents." Matthew chapter 13, verse 38, the parable that has to do with the wheat and the tares, there's a reference to the field. And it says in Matthew 13:38, "The field is the world." Esau is a picture of the child of God who lives in the world and occasionally comes in to feed upon pottage or prophet's food. The pottage that Jacob seethed actually was prophet's food, and we'll see that in a few moments. So Jacob was a man who lived in the world and on occasion would come in faint and hungry and feed upon what others have patiently studied and gained for themselves in the study of the Word. In Jeremiah 35 and verse 7, neither shall ye build house, nor sow seed, nor plant vineyard, nor have any. But all your days ye shall dwell in tents, that ye may live many days in the land where ye are strangers. Jacob was a sojourner, along with Abraham and Isaac, and the others that are found in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. They dwelt in tents. They were strangers and sojourners. What were they looking for? They were looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Jacob is a picture of those who are looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. He's actually looking for the heavenly city, the New Jerusalem. The anticipation of a heavenly inheritance in the coming kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Esau, on the other hand, was one who dwelt in the fields, did not dwell in tents. In Genesis 25, in verse 28, it says, Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob, and Jacob sought pottage. Here's the contrast. Esau, he ate of the things that came from the field or the world, which was venison. And this ministered not only to Esau, but unfortunately it ministered to Isaac as well. And we find that this ministry unto Isaac caused Isaac's eyes from a type or a spiritual perspective to become dim. Isaac was blind in his last days. And it's just like many Christians today that are blind and cannot see afar off. And so the ministry of the Word will cause us to become spiritually blind and cause us to choose the wrong things. On the contrast, Jacob was one who sought pottage. He wasn't blind. His eyes were not dim. Even in his old age, he had bright eyes. His eyes were not dim. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 8, it says, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting, or life for the age. Esau sowed to the flesh, and Esau's inheritance was that of corruption. In fact, Esau's inheritance was outside the land, flowing with milk and honey, where Jacob sowed to the things of the Spirit, because he sowed pottage, and pottage was prophet's food. We find that in 2 Kings 4, verse 38, where Elisha says to the young men to set on the great pot and boil pottage for the sons of the prophets. So in type and picture, the sodding of pottage has to do with the ministry of the Word of God. And Jacob was one who ministered the Word of God. And it's through the Word of God that we are renewed day by day. It causes us not to faint as Esau fainted. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, for which cause we faint not, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And the only way that the inward man can be renewed day by day is a daily time in the Word and in prayer. Now, Esau came from the field and he was faint. Any time that you are trying to satisfy the things of the flesh and the world, you're going to become faint. Esau ministered to the flesh. And because he ministered to the flesh, he became faint. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, it says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. If we faint, we will not reap. And what is it that we will not reap? You find that in verse 9. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life for the age. Life for the age has to do with the birthright and a double portion inheritance in the coming kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jacob sowed to the things of the Spirit. He was not faint, and he was the one who received the birthright. In Isaiah 40, verse 39, it says, He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Jacob was one who waited upon the Lord. To study the Word of God and to grow in grace and in the knowledge of God takes waiting upon the Lord. It takes seething pottage. Seething pottage or sodding pottage takes a long time. And they that wait upon the Lord are those who have to be willing to continue steadfastly waiting upon the Lord, knowing that the Lord will provide them the strength that they need, that they will not faint. And so may the Lord help us to wait upon Him, to be in His Word, and to feed upon His Word. Another thing that can cause us to faint is being prayerless. If we stop praying, the Word of God says we will faint. Luke 18:1 says, He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. If you quit praying, you are on the verge of fainting. And if you're on the verge of fainting, you're on the verge of forfeiting your birthright. What goes along with forfeiting your birthright? Shame. Esau sought the blessing from his father with tears. And that's what will happen to those believers who are not faithful to the Lord and faithful to the birthright. They will lose the blessings that God would have for them, and they will seek them with tears. Another person to consider is the Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, it says, Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. What caused Jesus Christ to endure the contradiction of sinners? What caused Jesus Christ to endure the cross that his Father gave him? Jesus told the woman at the well and his disciples, He says, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. If Jesus had not finished the work that his Father had sent him, there would be shame and rejection. But he did not. He finished the work that his Father sent him to do, and so therefore there was joy and the privilege of sitting down in the throne of God the Father. Verse 2 says, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus Christ was an overcomer. Revelation chapter 3 tells us that because he was an overcomer, he sat down at the right hand of the Father. And if we will be overcomers, we will do the same thing. Verse 21 of Revelation 3 says, To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath ear, an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Jesus despised the shame. Therefore, he was encouraged to be an overcomer. We need to despise the shame so that we will endure the contradiction of sinners and not be faint in weary and faint in your minds. Verse 3 of Hebrews 12 says, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." We can faint. We can faint in our souls. The word minds is really the word soul or our life. And so we need to consider what Jesus Christ did and be courage. We are considering what Jacob did, and we're going to take courage to be faithful to the Lord. Well, back in Genesis chapter 25 and verse 30, it says, "Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with the same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom." Notice that it's feed me. Esau was self-centered. He looked to others to feed him the Word of God. And so therefore Esau said to Jacob, feed me. We need to learn to feed ourselves from the Word of God. Yet there are times when, obviously, when those who have the gift of teaching do teach the Word of God, but we need to learn to feed ourselves so that we would not grow weary and faint. Esau was one who lived on bread alone until he realized he needed some spiritual food. Matthew 4:4 tells us, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Jacob lived by the word. Esau lived by bread. And so therefore that's going to cause us to be faint. just like Satan tried to get Jesus Christ to minister to the flesh by turning the stones into bread. And Esau was ministering to the flesh, and so therefore he was faint. In Psalms chapter 1, or the first Psalm, verses 2 and 3, it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Jacob was able to feed Esau the pottage, the prophet's food, because his delight was in the law of the Lord. And in his law did he meditate day and night. That's the reason why it takes enduring to in the Word to be able to feed other people. In contrast to that, I believe that Esau is a picture of a man who walks in the counsel of the ungodly, that is, those in the world. He is a picture of those who standeth in the way of sinners. He compromises his position for those that are rebelling against the Lord. And he seats himself in those who mock the things of God and does not have the delight in the law of the Lord that he should. Now, Jacob valued the birthright. And he said, "Sell me this day thy birthright," in Genesis 25:31. The birthright provided a double portion of the estate of the father. What would happen is, in the case of Esau and Jacob, is that Isaac would divide his estate up into three parts, and the firstborn would get double of his estate, and each child would get a single portion. And so Jacob esteemed the birthright, and he wanted the double portion. And he not only wanted the double portion, but he also wanted the blessing. Part of the birthright had to do with the blessing. In Genesis 27, verse 29, it says, "Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that curseth thee." Or blessed thee, excuse me. "Blessed is he that blesseth thee." Jesus was an overcomer, and he sat down at the right hand of the Father in his throne, and we are encouraged to be overcomers as well. The book of Revelation chapter 2 says that he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. Jacob was given position over the nations. If we are overcomers, we will also rule over the nations with a rod of iron. We will also rule over our brethren. I'm just thinking about Joseph. Joseph had a dream of ruling and reigning over his brothers and his father. And his brothers hated him because of this vision, because of this dream that God had given him. And the same thing happens in the family of God today. There are those in there are Bible teachers that teach that everybody is going to be a king and everybody's going to be a lord in the coming kingdom. But that's just not simply, it's just not the case. The overcomers are going to be kings and lords. But those who faint and fail and minister to the flesh are going to reap corruption. Now that's not losing your salvation. That's just losing your reward. That's losing your inheritance. And instead of ruling and reigning, you will be ruled over and reigned over, just like Isaac said to Jacob, let people serve thee, in verse 29, and nations bow down to thee, be lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. This has to do with position in the family. And who will rule and reign over whom? And this is another study in contrast of Esau and Jacob according to election, which we will look at later on. Now, what was Esau experiencing? Well, a child of God who fails to please the Lord will perish. To perish is to lose our life as far as our inheritance in the coming kingdom is concerned. Doesn't mean that we're dead in trespasses and sins. Only those who have life can perish. And Esau was one who was faint and was about to perish. At least that was the thought that was given in verse 32 of Genesis 25. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me? Well, at the point of death is a reference to that of perishing. And Esau is a picture and a type of those who perish. Those who minister of the flesh will perish. They will not enjoy the blessings of ruling and reigning in the coming kingdom. Esau was slothful. In Proverbs 12 and verse 27 it says, the slothful man roasteth not which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. I believe Esau, being a cunning hunter as he was, because he was able to go and kill venison in one day and prepare it for his father. He didn't go on a week hunting trip. He was able to go and kill a deer and able to bring it in and cook it and bring it into his father in just one day. I believe Esau is a picture of a slothful child of God. They will not even roast the things that they get in hunting. In Proverbs 12 and verse 24 it says, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. Esau was under tribute because of the blessing of Isaac onto Jacob. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule. Esau was a picture, or is a picture and a type of the diligent. And Because of that, he will, a people will serve him, and nations will bow down to him, and he will be Lord over his brothers. And that's the significance of the picture or the type of Jacob. He was one who was diligent. In Proverbs 19:24, it says, "A slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom, and will not bring it to his mouth again." Slothful man will not feed himself. He will not prepare what he has taken in hunting. Or he will not take the time to prepare spiritual things or spiritual food for himself. And if, even if he does have spiritual food provided him, many times we just won't take the time to bring it to our mouth. We won't ingest it into our life. It doesn't change our lives. And so therefore, Esau is a picture of one who will not let the Word of God change his life. In fact, we read in the portion that Jacob ate the bread and the pottage of lentils, did eat and drink, or Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils. This is in verse 34 of Genesis 25. And he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. He went back to the world. Went right back out into the world. Right back to doing what caused him to be weary in the first place. So we need to be take warning and not be slothful. In fact, Romans chapter 12, verse 11 tells us, "Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord." To be not slothful in business, the word business should be translated diligence. Be not slothful in diligence. We need to be diligent. We need to be pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We need to have a fervent spirit. Jacob esteemed the birthright. We need to esteem the birthright. Serving the Lord. What does it mean, serving the Lord? Well, Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10, it says that God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love in the, that you have shown toward His name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And the Lord told the sheep in Matthew 25, "Because you ministered to the least of these my brethren, you have ministered to me." And so serving the Lord and ministering to the Lord is serving others. And Jacob served Esau. He served him prophet's food. Now, what was Esau's inheritance? Well, first of all, let me just say this. Jacob's inheritance was in the land flowing with milk and honey. Jacob was in a more desirable place, and his inheritance would be in a more desirable place than those outside the land of Canaan. Those who had an inheritance east of the Jordan River were in a less desirable inheritance. In Malachi chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, it says, "And I hated Esau and laid his mountain and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness." Esau's inheritance in type and picture is not of that of a land flowing with milk and honey. It was a land that was waste, a place where dragons dwelt. It was the wilderness. It was not a desirable land. It was not a desirable inheritance. The children of Israel, when they went into the land flowing with milk and honey, they didn't have to build houses. The shelves were stocked with food. In verse 4 of Malachi 1, it says, "Whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw it down. My, to think of putting forth the effort to build and then having the Lord come and throw it down, what a discouraging place to live. What a discouraging inheritance that would be. It says, And they shall call them the borders of wickedness, and the people against whom God hath indignation forever. Esau's inheritance, an inheritance of waste. The inheritance of Jacob, an inheritance of land flowing with milk and honey. Esau sold his birthright. He did not see the value of ministering to himself the Word of God and keeping his birthright. Jacob saw the value of the birthright. That's what's being taught here. It's not the fact that we cause our brother to lose his birthright. Esau caused himself to lose it. The story of Esau and Jacob is to help us to understand the value of the birthright and to do what it takes to keep it and to have it. Otherwise, we can lose it. And we can lose it on such a little thing as even one meal. We can sacrifice our future on the altar of the immediate. This is what Dr. Bob Jones said one time. And we need to be careful that we don't do that. Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentil, and he did eat and drink, and he rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. May the Lord help us not to despise it, but to strive for it, to be faithful, to be diligent, to sow to the things of the Spirit and not the things of the flesh. Hebrews 6:12 says, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them, that is, Jacob and Abraham and Isaac and Enoch and Noah. These are men who were not slothful, but through faith and patience inherited the promises. The promises having to do with his coming kingdom and glory. May the Lord help us to be diligent like Jacob. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to share these thoughts about Esau and Jacob. We need to be encouraged to be as Jacob, a witness of one who lived by faith, who desired to please thee, who esteemed the birthright, and did those things that are pleasing in thy sight, so that he wouldn't lose his birthright. Help us, Lord, to take warning and an admonition to turn away from the lifestyle of Esau, whose inheritance will be that of waste and wilderness. Help us, Lord, to see the value of having a heavenly inheritance rather than an earthly inheritance. Esau's inheritance was here on the earth. Jacob's inheritance will be in the heavenly city, whose builder and maker is you, Lord. So, Lord, help us to see the value of patterning our life after that of Jacob and after that of the Lord Jesus Christ. For these things we ask and pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.